Access Health CT, the state's insurance marketplace, has expanded their partnerships in underinsured parts of Connecticut. The goal is to help residents navigate open enrollment for health insurance this week. James Michel is CEO of Access Health CT, and he joined the nonprofit health provider United Community and Family Services in Norwich, which has become their newest partner location.
We know in the southeast corner of the state, there's a growing uninsured population, especially those who work in the casinos. Casinos have been laying people off. They may get other jobs, but paying less money, but they don't qualify for Medicaid. So we want to make sure we are here to let them know that they have options available to them to maintain their health and them and their family's health.
Residents can call or visit a partner location and discuss their health insurance needs. The open enrollment period closes January 15th. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. We've got all the details on last night's gubernatorial debate in Connecticut. Absentee ballots will be in play this election in New York. And what exactly is the Environmental Bond Act? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Three candidates running for governor in Connecticut clashed in their last televised debate on Tuesday night. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports crime was one of the issues they argued over.
The GOP's Bob Stefanowski doubled down on his claim that crime is out of control. He accused incumbent Democrat Ned Lamont and independent Rob Hodling of being soft on crime. Stefanowski says that's because they support the police accountability law passed by state Democrats in the wake of the George Floyd killing.
There's only one person on this stage right now who's going to support the heck out of the men and women that are putting their lives on the line every single day for us. That's me. These guys are both soft on crime and they anti-police.
That prompted this response from Lamont, who accused Stefanowski of getting an A rating from the NRA because he supports the easy availability of guns.
You're not serious about crime unless you're serious about guns. Getting those illegal guns off the street, getting those AR-15 and other assault weapons off the street. Too many of our cops are outgunned and outmanned. Our state police are not outmanned.
Independent Hodling, who is African-American, took issue with being criticized for supporting police accountability.
Have either of you ever been stopped by the police and threatened and shouted at? I have. Hand on the holster. When you've gone through an experience like that, it makes you think differently. But I still support the police 100% to give them the tools that they need in order to be successful in our communities. But I also believe our communities have historically been disproportionately targeted. And this bill solves some of that.
The candidates also clashed over who would be more supportive of abortion rights, as well as when to spend the state's $6 billion rainy day fund and on energy policy. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A New York appeals court upheld state law allowing anyone worried about COVID-19 to vote absentee. WSHU's Emily Bishop reports the ruling keeps thousands of absentee ballots in play for next week's midterm election.
In their unanimous decision, the five-judge panel rejected two Republican-led challenges to the state's absentee voting laws. A state law, in effect since 2020, permits people to vote absentee if they are concerned about catching or spreading an illness like COVID-19. Another law allows absentee ballots to be inspected before Election Day, which is intended to expedite the counting process. A lower court sided with Republicans who argued the laws restrict the rights of candidates to challenge ballots in court before being counted. However, the appeals court ruled that Republicans waited too long to bring their case, since absentee ballot counting has already begun across the state. The midterm election is Tuesday. Emily Bishop, WSHU News.
There will be a proposition on the back of the ballot in New York that could determine the future of Long Island's coastline and more. That's after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The energy and services company Avangrid has been fined close to $4.5 million. The Connecticut State Office of Consumer Counsel with the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority fined Avangrid for failing to inform customers with wage garnishments about a payment plan during the COVID-19 pandemic. Avangrid violated PURA's orders to have companies contact customers after their first missed payment and to provide them with options to pay what they can, when they can, during the pandemic. Most of that money will be paid to Operation Fuel, a nonprofit that assists Connecticut consumers struggling with energy bills. Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone signed into law a measure that leans on tow truck drivers to clean up crash sites. Ballone says there have been 29,000 car accidents in Suffolk County since January. Tow companies are required to not only clean glass, bumpers, and other physical debris, but also fluid left behind at crash sites, which could prevent more crashes and pop tires. A new community crisis response team is coming to New Haven to help first responders handle certain nonviolent interventions. Elm City Compass will work with police, fire, and emergency medical personnel and provide resources for residents experiencing mental health, drug, alcohol, or housing crises. The response team will include a licensed social worker and a peer recovery specialist. It'll run 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the pilot phase. On the back of the ballot, Proposition 1 asks New Yorkers whether the state should borrow $4.2 billion for environmental projects. If approved, that money is not just going to be spent on Long Island's coast. It would be spent in the coming decades on reducing flood risks, mitigating the effects of climate change, and preserving land around the state. Emily Russell reports.
New York State is definitely not immune to climate change. Extreme weather events like Hurricanes Sandy and Irene have pummeled the state in the last few decades. Temperatures are rising. But Peter Bauer says New York has the chance to become a leader and even a haven in the face of climate change.
People are going to look at upstate New York with all of these trees, with all of this water, with this pastoral landscape, with the Adirondack and Catskill Park and the Hudson Valley, and they're going to be like, my God, upstate New York is a paradise on earth.
Bauer is the executive director of Protect the Adirondacks, a green group in the park. Like others, including the Nature Conservancy and Environmental Advocates of New York, Bauer's group is urging New Yorkers to vote yes on Proposition 1 to approve the $4.2 billion Environmental Bond Act. If it passes, the money will be doled out to communities across the state, $1.5 billion to build green infrastructure and things like cooling centers. Another billion would be used to restore waterways and reduce flood risks. There's $650 million for water infrastructure projects and another $650 million for land preservation, which Peter Bauer says is critical.
Every year, the developed parts of New York State gets bigger and bigger. The amount of land that's under asphalt grows year after year. So, you know, protecting land is really doing a favor for future generations.
But not everyone feels that way. Brian Wells is the supervisor of Hamilton County. He's also the town supervisor of Indian Lake. He says Adirondack towns like his struggle to grow and prosper because of how much surrounding land the state already owns. Think about Indian Lake as a pie chart, Wells says.
Every time the state buys something, it increases the forest preserve, or somebody donates it, or it's endowed, or it's purchased by a land trust. It just makes that pie that much smaller and that much harder for us.
Wells says the state should focus on managing the land it already owns, like building and maintaining trails and hiring more forest rangers. While he is grateful for the millions in state funding his and other Adirondack towns get for things like new wastewater treatment plants, Wells thinks adding $4.2 billion to the state's debt doesn't make financial sense. Do you plan to vote for the Environmental Bond Act?
To be honest, no. I'll be voting no.
But advocates say there will be plenty of oversight, especially if the money is used to match federal funding for projects. Plus, they say it's better to build up resilient infrastructure now than after a major storm.
It's a lot more expensive to go backwards and fix a problem than it is to create the resilience up front.
That's Kelly Tucker. She's the executive director of the Au-Sable River Association, which repairs erosion and restores rivers, lakes, and streams in the Adirondacks. Tucker says there's a lot in the Bond Act she likes, including the fact that 35% of the money must benefit disadvantaged communities around the state. That means funding projects in poorer communities, places facing particular threats like pollution and storm surges. Tucker is hopeful that New Yorkers will vote to invest in green energy, more public lands, and more resilient communities. But she says the details of how that money is delivered really matter.
The question is, how is it going to be implemented? If it's passed, how is that money going to come to small communities, to marginalized communities? Is that money going to be easy to use, or is it going to be hard to use?
Tucker says those are critical pieces of the puzzle. But first, New Yorkers need to decide whether or not they support the $4.2 billion Environmental Bond Act. So remember, when you go to vote, don't forget to flip over your ballot. I'm Emily Russell for WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, we want to encourage our listeners to connect with us here at WSHU so you can share any thoughts or story ideas you have to news@WSHU.org, or you can connect with us through the WSHU app. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening. We'll talk tomorrow.